Welcome to The Intuitive Therapist with Janice R. Cohen, therapist, clairvoyant, empath, and medium. Listen in as she takes a no-nonsense deep dive into real human struggles and how to resolve them. Janice will share channeled information from her spirit guide team, as well as angels and archangels, to help you master your emotional, physical, financial, and spiritual destiny. And now, Janice R. Cohen.
Hey, y'all. This is Janice Cohen, the Intuitive Therapist, here on the Intuitive Therapist Podcast. I want to talk to you today about how to respond versus reacting. My daddy was a planner. He was always thinking 10 steps ahead of a decision so that he could do whatever possible to prevent a mistake. And while 99% of the time his predictions about what could happen really were correct, y'all, it didn't leave him much room to be present and relaxed. My daddy grew up less than poor, as one of my friends calls it, because she grew up less than poor, she called it Poe. She didn't have the O-R at the end, and my father grew up the same way. His whole life was about surviving a hellish living environment, one where his father was an alcoholic who struggled to provide for his family and did a very poor job of it. He was physically and emotionally abusive to the children and my grandmother. On many occasions, my grandfather came home drunk, spending the little money he earned on alcohol at some of the local pubs in Boston. While those choices momentarily offered my grandfather an alcohol-induced reprieve from his challenged life, by the time he'd get home in the evening, everyone was on guard because reality kicked in, and he realized how he had failed again. And the family knew that there was a high likelihood that my grandfather would have almost no fuse left, no tolerance, and the need for something to punch or somebody to beat on. And on several occasions, my grandmother would warn the kids to stay out of the house throughout the night. And these frequent warnings happened when my father was young. We're talking young, like 6, 7, 8. So he had to figure out both a way of how to survive in the real world on his own as a little boy, but also he was in the house at times, and he had to learn how to become invisible, and that didn't always work. So my dad had to think 10 steps ahead. He had to figure out how to bulletproof his plan. I wonder if you can relate to some of that or the entire story. In your life, what's contributed to how you make decisions? Are you a seat-of-the-pants decision maker, taking risks all of the time and hoping things work out? Or are you an anticipatory planner, or maybe even both? Today's topic is Look Before You Leap. And it's about decision making, and especially how you respond to people and to life. One of the most important things I've learned in my life, and I always talk about this, is to be present. And when I do that, I know that whatever hunches or nudges I receive, they're going to guide me in the right direction. But I have a bit of dad in me, and in many ways, that my father kind of like, we in the South say, if you look like exactly like your parent, they spit you out. Well, another saying that we have in the South is you cut from the same cloth, which means that you have qualities, characteristics, attributes, just like someone that you know. So in many ways, I'm much like my dad, especially in the way that I mentioned, but I didn't grow up the way he grew up. Thank God, my father became what's called the anti-model, and he became a very, very accomplished man, and thankfully fought against his own upbringing to provide for us. But I do my best to anticipate what might happen, but I also do my best to remain present. It's a balancing act for sure, and I have to tell you in all honesty, I have not mastered that, and I get lost sometimes. But somehow I'm nudged to get back on track. I think it's okay to take leaps of faith in life. I've done it many times. I remember this one time when I first started to do readings for people about 10 years ago. A dear friend of mine who was very, very gifted, there was an opportunity to read at a psychic fair. I'd never done that before. I was kind of doing all my readings in secret because I lacked the confidence. And she said, hey, there's an opportunity. I told him how good you were. She wants you to come in. And so I was like, oh, shit. And then I went, okay. And so I did. And I know I've told this story before, when I got there, I was there working that weekend. I read this person. The owner sent this person to me, and apparently it was good enough that, you know, you buy 20-minute increments. And so I did a reading for him for 40 minutes, and he eventually became a client of mine therapeutically. But I remember sitting around, and all of a sudden she said, all right, you can do a reading for me. And I was like, oh, God, my stomach went in my throat. And then I looked up at God and my guys. I said, all right, y'all got to come through because I'm nervous. So about an hour later, she pulled me back. And back then, I started using cards because I know at the psychic fairs, people like to have something tangible. So I was using cards, and I had her pick three cards. But what was interesting is I said to her, I said, do you have a daughter? She said, no. But here's the thing. When I was sitting across from her, we were all waiting around, and I was sitting across from her, and I kept seeing this little girl to her left, clear as day. Saw her hair color, eye color, saw a little dress she was wearing. I knew her age, her little ruffled socks, shoes, everything. And she was just, you know, leaning on her mama's leg, on her left leg, leaning into her mama. And I said, so I go, okay, so you don't have a daughter? She says, no. I said, are you sure? Right, how silly is that? Yeah, you would know if you have a daughter. She said, no. I go, are you positive that you don't have a daughter who's 4? And she paused, and she looked at me, and she said, I lost a daughter who would have been 4. I said, well, she's here. And she's been here this whole day. And she looked at me, she goes, okay, you're good. And we laughed. And that was the first time that I'd really encountered any kind of mediumship abilities of mine. But being present, because of that, because I was present, because I was aware, it allowed me to be connected not only with an opportunity to go to the psychic fair and read, but also to channel and get those hunches, get those nudges, get those visions. So like I said, I absolutely, and I have many, many times taken leaps of faith. And what I know is that whatever decision I make, it's going to work out. I may be hurt. I may be disappointed. I may be real happy. I may not like it, but it's going to be what is necessary for me. And I realized that really there's no failure in life. Even though we may ascribe that label to experiences that we believe didn't work out in the way we'd hoped, like, you know, we fucked up or screwed up, shouldn't have done that. I knew it. It's really, these are just opportunities to course correct. So we have to screw up and fail in order to learn and grow. That's just life. Y'all know that. So impulsive decision making in certain circumstances, it really does work. And given what I just said, it would work all the time because you would learn what doesn't work and what does work. That's different than making decisions from a place of presence and calm. When we tap into our internal guidance center, our intuition, decisions made from that place are always best because we get clear guidance. Even when we're not sure, that's a clue to kind of either sit more, know more, or go do something to get clarity. I've always told my clients that decisions in and of themselves are very, very easy to make because we always know what we're leaning towards. And to further emphasize my point to others, I have them imagine themselves, okay, y'all just go with me here. And God forbid, if this has happened to you, I'm so sorry I'm using this as an example, but I just want you to understand how quickly you actually know what you want. So Imagine yourself held captive by somebody with a gun to your head, forcing you to choose between two options. They say, you know what? They cock the gun. It's Russian roulette. You got 5 seconds before the gun goes off for you to call the shots. Tell me what you want. 100% of the time, you will be able to do it. Okay? You know what you need to do. You know what decision to make is clear. But what mucks up the decision-making is what we feel about what we must do, the decision itself. It's the emotions we feel about the decisions that make us kind of cause, that cause us to pause. And that's where we screw up. That's why it's hard to break up a relationship that's toxic. It's hard to leave an abuser. It's hard to, of course, addiction is a different kind of thing where you've got the whole second part of the body is physically dependent, but there's also a fear. There's a belief or a fear. What if? What if I quit and my life is horrible, right? So it's the emotions. So today's episode is called Look Before You Leap for a Reason. And I bring that up because I ask that when you struggle to make a decision, you have to understand you have imposed your own vice around your heart and brain minds. And by the way, did you know that you have two hearts in your body? Your brain two minds. You have a heart mind and a brain mind. So we make decisions from both. So here's another method to decide between two options. If that awful and violent example of a gun to your head isn't working for you, okay? So why don't you take a quarter or a half dollar or any coin? And I want you to think about each of the options. And then I want you to assign each of the options to a side of the coin, right? So heads represent one option, tails represent another option. And now, once you flip the coin up, go ahead and notice which side of the coin that you hope it lands face up on. That is the answer that your body is telling you that you need to make. That's the choice, okay? Try it with anything, all right? So decisions, like I said, aren't hard. It's the emotions that we attach to the decisions that make them hard. Signals about which decisions to make are all around you, inside and outside of your body. Your job is to follow this three-step process called SIT, okay? Step one, the S for sit is stop. Stop before you make a decision. Take a moment to orient yourself to the kind of decision you need to make and notice what's going on inside you about the decision. Stop and notice. Two, the I is for inhale. Breathe deeply. 10 times, 100 times if you have to, so that you can reconnect with your body and be in your body, centered in your body, grounded in your body, and not be off in your head catastrophizing. So get present as you inhale. The last step is listen. Listen to what your gut is telling you about the decision. If feelings weren't a factor, what decision would you make? If feelings are a factor, who can you speak with to work through what troubles you so that you can go ahead and make whatever decision you need to make? When you have resistance about making a decision, I want to invite you to explore it. Don't explore the decision itself because you will not get answers. Again, the difficulty in decision-making comes from the emotions we feel about them, that we assign to them. Like, what's going to happen as a result of it? How others are going to react? What's going to happen to us? Are we going to be rejected? People not like us? Are we going to be shunned? Are we going to be embarrassed? How will we handle it? All of which are out of control, except for the one thing, which is how you're going to handle it. This is where the SIT process helps. While sometimes it's great to just take a leap of faith and see what happens, it can be just as beneficial to take a few moments before you leap and notice what's stirring within you. Because truly, sometimes taking a few moments before you jump is what helps you land solidly on the ground. I hope you have gotten something from this, if anything, really to take the time to use the signs and signals within you and outside of you, knowing that you really don't need to rush, and that almost always, if you can deal with the emotions of a decision, then the decision in and of itself is very, very easy to make. Please go ahead, stop by, download that free report on my website, janicercohen.com. Hop on iTunes, rate and review. I love you. I love you. I love you. Thanks for being a faithful listener. And as always, have a blessed day, a wonderful week, and always live intuitively.
Thanks for listening to The Intuitive Therapist with Janice R. Cohen. If you like what you heard, the best compliment you can give us is to share this podcast with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review at iTunes.